to you by Puffin.
The Troublemakers. Written and read by me, Tamsin Merchant. Prologue. It was a starless, moonless night. A night dark enough for kidnapping. A roaring October wind wailed around Gaunthead towers, wrenching open windows and howling into rooms as the sea crashed onto the cliffs below. Another kind of howl echoed down the cold stone corridors of the school.
Prudence!
Urgent footsteps rang along one of the corridors. The dormitory door burst open and frightened children sat up in their beds as a wild-eyed woman hurtled inside.
Where's Prudence?
The woman screamed, charging to the bed at the end of the room. The bed was empty, the covers pulled back.
She's gone!
The woman cried, falling to her knees. The open window banged in the wind and, across the bay, a ship with ragged sails lurched out to sea. Lightning flashed through the dormitory, illuminating the wall between the window and the empty bed, where a single word was scrawled. Troublemakers. Chapter 1. The stars are full of stories, littlest hatmaker. Following the stars will always lead you to great adventures. Cordelia Hatmaker gripped the ship's wheel, the deck of Little Bear solid beneath her feet. She could smell adventure in the spring wind. It smelled of salt and sky, laced with a hint of fresh tar. Stars spangled the rigging, winking with the promise of exciting escapades to come. Her father, Prospero Hatmaker, stood on the deck beside her. But every adventurer needs a compass, he added. The heart is a compass. Follow your heart, and you'll go wisely and wildly all your life. Cordelia put her hand to her heart. She could feel it beating, soft and steady in her chest, a living creature. Is that today's lesson, Father? She asked. Prospero grinned. Today's lesson is this. Be careful of the ship's biscuit. It doesn't taste like biscuits at all. Cordelia grinned back. They were not out at sea yet. All through autumn and winter, Cordelia had witnessed the ship being built and marvelled at the magic of making such a thing, a beast to ride the sea, made of wood and rope and canvas. She had climbed through the ribcage of its skeleton, been caught up in the criss-crossing sinews of rigging, and gaped at the baggy swags of sails that would fill, like lungs, with air. The ship was made of fleet wood, which skimmed swiftly across water. The figurehead was a perfect little bear with fur carved into wind-blown ripples. When the master shipwright, bobbing up from Greenwich on an important-looking barge, had come to inspect her, he had pronounced Little Bear the finest vessel of her kind, and had added, I'll wager she is the quickest, too, causing Cordelia to glow with pride. Tonight, Little Bear was quiet. After finishing the sticky job of tarring her hull, the shipbuilders had gone home, leaving Cordelia and her father listening to the lap and hush of the Thames just beyond the dry dock in which the ship had been built. In a few days, when the glistening tar had set, the dry dock would be flooded with water and Little Bear would float out onto the wide river. Then all that's left to do, Cordelia said, is add provisions, meaning food. And water, Prospero added. Yes, Cordelia agreed. Water's very important for a sea voyage. The long-promised sea voyage. Now the spring tides were rising, it was nearly time to set off. Cordelia and her father were going on a voyage to collect magical ingredients for the hats their family made. They were to sail to the Canary Islands to search for the freckle-leafed vim shrub and songstress snails whose pearly trails warbled with silvery music. From the Canaries, they would sail due east to the coast of Morocco, where they planned to rummage in the sands for the flashing whorls of storm nautilus conchs. Soon, there would be a much greater demand than usual for ingredients, because next week, for the first time in 250 years,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?